nothing can pollute the atmosphere of a Christmas morning like a really bad gift. I mean, you have that sense of anticipation, you've waited all year, and then it's just a big letdown. I come from a long line of bad gift givers, so this has kind of become second nature for me. Christmas of 97, my aunt gave me a watch. Great gift. But when I thanked her for it, all she said was, uh-oh. She explained to me that the watch was for Chris on the other side of the family. When I was 16 years old, my mom gave me a floor lamp. A floor lamp. Like, what 16-year-old boy is walking into his nasty laundry-covered bedroom saying, you know, the lighting in here is just not quite right. But the mother of all bad gifts came to me when I was 8 years old, Christmas 1986, at my grandparents' farm. They were successful farmers and had a long track record of giving awesome gifts. So here we are, Christmas morning, Grandma brings out the best and final gift, the big one. My little 8-year-old heart is just pounding. I mean, this is my Christmas. I rip through the paper, open the top, I look inside, and I'm stunned. You should know, my grandparents were very resourceful. Grandma would can food from their garden. She repurposed milk cartons. You know, she'd save old jeans just for their fabric. So I peered into the box just a second time just to confirm that what I was seeing really was a handmade quilt. Apparently, Grandma had taken some of Grandpa's old jeans and combined that with some recycled kitchen curtains that were fruit-themed. And this quilt was just a marvel. It had bananas and apples and little grape clusters just for a pop of color. A quilt? A stinking quilt? Are you kidding me? What am I going to do with the quilt? I'm 8! But after I had some time to think about it, that's when I cried. That's when I really broke down, you know. I just remember the next day packing up the van and we were leaving. I just felt so let down and I was just wallowing in my own self-pity the entire trip home. I mean, I was warm, but a funny thing happened as the months and years went by. I started to fall in love with that blanket. It became my bedspread, my traveling blanket, my house blanket, my watching football blanket. I used it so much that it became tattered and worn. The once bright red backing faded to a light pink. Light pink on one side, fruit and jeans on the other. But I didn't care. Like, I used it every day. And somehow, the mother of all bad gifts turned into the best gift I ever got. But when I first peered into that box, I couldn't see the years of joy that that blanket would give me. I'd completely undervalued what I'd been given. And today, when I look at that crazy jean and fruit blanket, it reminds me that there's another gift that, quite frankly, I've undervalued. The gift of Jesus. The most undervalued gift in the history of mankind. His hope, his joy, his peace, his love has come to us as a gift. But is it real to me? Am I really experiencing it? Are you really experiencing it? Are we just so caught up in the craziness and distraction of the season that that incredible gift has faded off into the background somewhere? I pray today finds me able to cherish both the unexpected gift of that first Christmas and the promise of Jesus being always with us now, that his hope, love, joy, and peace would be even more clear to me than ever. I pray the same for you. God is with us. Merry Christmas.
That's our Christmas Eve service. Well, dear friends, grace and peace to you as always from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Once again, a very merry and blessed Christmas to each and every one of you. It is good that this time has come. We thank God for allowing us to finally make it into Christmas Eve. Many of you have registered your complaints to me about why is it that we never sing Christmas songs or carols during Advent? The Christmas season is so short, we want to sing. Well, we just did. We sung beautifully too, by the way. I love it. And so we are now in the season of Christmas, and we'll do a lot of Christmas singing and caroling in the next couple weeks of this season of Christmas. We've been anticipating this day. We've been anticipating Christmas, the arrival of Jesus. And with you, and those of you with kids, wow, you can certainly feel the anticipation at its peak. We're so happy that you're with us this evening here at our Savior's. And we're happy that you've come to worship. Whether you from out of town, came to see family and friends, however led you here, we're delighted. And we give thanks to the Holy Spirit that tugged at your heart and brought and safely led you here. We're grateful. Thank you. Now, if you've been with us during the last four Sundays, you know that we've been preparing for this day, as well as preparing for the arrival and the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We've been celebrating the season of Advent, where we get to see the characteristics of God as a God of hope. You know, four or five Sundays ago, I mentioned that God with us means that there is always hope. For every Christian, every believer, there is always hope because God is with us. There is always love and joy because God is with us. And there is certainly always peace because first and foremost, we are at peace with God. And that peace ought to reign in our hearts, in our homes, in our world. So every Christian ought to know and ought to live in the reality of the hope, the love, the joy, and the peace that Christ Jesus brings. You know, yesterday I stopped at the corner of Navarro and Crestwood, waiting for a green light, and this pickup truck pulls right next to me, lowers the window, and says, "Hey, what are you preaching on tomorrow?" I had to think. I said, "Tomorrow? Oh, yeah, Christmas Eve." I said, "Well, I think I'm going to preach on the little baby Jesus." "No, that's a good one." Roll window, left. Apparently, he knew who I was. And he does because he goes to church here. Be that as it may, it is the same story that many of us have grown up with, that we've heard since we're knee-high to a grasshopper, that we have been told and we've been said and tell our children, our grandchildren about the birth of Jesus, the humble birth of Jesus. The Christmas story is a powerful story, nevertheless, filled with wonder and miracles and very real life. It is the story of God with us, among us, around us, in us, and working through us. That is the story of Christmas. It's powerful, and it is a wonderful gift of all eternity. As we've walked through the various parts of the Christmas story these past 4 weeks during Advent, we have explored the intersections of God with us in the lives of real people who played a role in Jesus' arrival. And we have seen that as he brought hope and love and joy and peace into their lives in very real ways, we also learn that he will do the same for us today and always as we look forward to his return. Now, God is with us is the theme of our Advent season, the last four Sundays. Which reminds me of a story that, you know, if you've heard it before, don't stop me. There was a family with two little boys, a six-year-old and a nine-year-old, and these two little boys are like all typical boys. They got into trouble everywhere they went. They were undisciplined in the eyes of most psychiatrists. They were just terrible kids. If there was anything broken in town, they did it. If anything was missing in town, they did it. If somebody was crying because something wrong was done to them, these two little boys did it. They moved from town to town because the parents couldn't stand the shame, couldn't figure out what to do for these two little boys. And then they got into a town and they heard that the local church was getting a new priest. And he has been touted as this excellent priest who can really work with children and get them to behave rightly. So they waited for the priest to come in town, and there were the very first one at the door of the church asking for the new priest to help them with their two little boys. The new priest said, sure, have them come and see me one by one. Let's start with the oldest, the nine-year-old. So the parents manage to take the nine-year-old to see Father so-and-such. Father so-and-such sat on this big, behind this big desk, and the child sat in this big chair in front of him, stared the priest in the eyes. After a long pause and silence, the priest said, asking, where is God? Little boy didn't know what to say. Where is God? Again, the little boy began to show signs of nervousness. And for the third time, the priest says, where is God? The little boy took off and ran home, hid under the bed. His younger brother says, what happened? What did he say to you? He says, they've lost God and they're trying to blame us for it. His answer should have, had he had been with us during this season of Advent, his answer would have been, God is with us. But no, they have lost God and they try to blame us for it. We certainly know that God is not lost. Why? Because we're celebrating the very presence of God in the flesh this evening. We're celebrating the fact that God made a decision long ago to come among us, to be with us in the flesh, in the birth of his Son, Jesus Christ. He is not lost. He is among us. He is with us and promises to be with us at all times and all places because he loves us, loves you, loves this world that he gave his Son to die for it. He loves you and wants to give you life. Not just any old life, not just some modicum of life, but abundant and full life in this life and in the life to come. That's a promise from our Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate today. And that's a promise, I tell you, I cling to. That he has given himself that we may have life. Luke's gospel tells us that while they were there in the town of Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born. And Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Yeah, Luke's description of this event, this momentous event, is so understated and yet so definitive. The Messiah came, the anointed one of God. God himself came into the world in the most humble ways. He came as a human. He came as an infant. Came as poor and vulnerable. And he physically was dependent. And yet he came as God to be with us, to be among us, to be one of us. That is the significance of this night, a night that we celebrate, the significance of a God who chose to be with us in the humblest possible ways. It's a miraculous event, it was. And it was quite a miracle, though mundane and humble in many ways. The miraculous announcements of the events surrounding the birth of Jesus were at first quiet, personal, even controversial in appearance for Mary and Joseph. And still, in the middle of it all, Jesus comes as the Emmanuel, the God with us. Jesus is the fulfillment of all hope. Jesus is the embodiment of love itself. Jesus is the source of all true joy, and Jesus is peace, our peace. Add all that up, and it simply tells us Jesus is life. Those of you who know, I'm originally from Madagascar, and in Madagascar, we eat rice like no one else does, 3 times a day at very minimum. And there's a saying that no rice, no life. No rice, no life. Well, no Jesus, no life too. Jesus is the very staple of our existence. And because he has come, we can be with God. We are with God, authentically, honestly, and wholly, eternally. Jesus is the giver of life to the full, not modicum, but to the full, as he describes in John 10:10. And Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life, as he described in John 14:6. He certainly is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus is who he says he is, the very presence of God among us. We, of all creatures, of all God's creation, are to be envied by even angels because we have a God who chose to be personal and to be open and available to us 24/7. He is with us indeed, filling us with life and spirit. Now, as we arrive at Christmas, I pray that we open our hearts to him, to worship and praise him in whatever capacity we are able to do that. I pray that we receive his hope. As I've said before, it's almost an oxymoronic statement to say a Christian, a hopeless Christian, because as long as God is with us, there is always hope. As long as God is with us, there is always love. As long as God is with us, there is always joy. And as long as God is with us, there is always peace. Paul captures a snapshot of this life in his writing from the 5th chapter of his letter to the Romans. He says, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." this evening we get to share a table, a meal with our fellow brothers and sisters at our Lord's table. It's the very sign of God's presence, it's the very sign of God being with us, the very sign of God's peace among us. And as we come to his table, it is my prayer for you, dear brothers and sisters, that the reality of the birth of Christ come anew, afresh in you, that you value the most underrated, the most unvalued gift of all, our Lord Jesus Christ. May he dwell richly in you, empowering you to be the very manifestation of his grace, not only this evening, not only as you open gifts and unwrap presents, but for the remainder of your days. It is Christ, Christ's child born so that Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit can be with you, with us, and there be hope, peace, love, and joy, just as he has promised. The angel said to the shepherds, and also to us, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the anointed one of God, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and singing and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those on whom his favor rests." May that peace reign in your hearts. May that joy, love, and hope reign richly in you, that all those around you will say, "I want some of that." And you know who to point them to. Our Savior Jesus was born, and whose birth we celebrate, and whose return we anticipate. Praise be to God. Amen.